In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was in high school in the early 1980s, and computers were just starting to become more mainstream. I remember when I was a freshman, they still were using punch cards for memory. But by my senior year, we were up to the black 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. They could hold 360 kilobytes of data. I believe, in my non-engineering calculation, I would only need 355,000 of those 5 1/4 inch disks to equal the memory capacity of my tiny little SD card on my phone. So we've come a long way. But when the personal computer was just dawning on the scene, maybe it's the same today, but if you took a computer class, the programming language you would first learn to use was called BASIC. Beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code, and in learning to write simple programs, one of the fundamental lines of code was the if-then-else statement. If the number is less than zero, then print number is negative. Else, if number is greater than zero, then print number is positive. Else, print number is zero. End if. You had to write it all exactly right to make it work. If-then analysis is used also all the time in doing things that have nothing to do with computers. Playing games, especially like a game like chess, you have to think, if I do this, then they will do that, else this other thing will happen. And many days you use if-then else to make calculated responses to things happening in life. We see if-then analysis in politics all the time. A candidate's asked, what do you think about Black Lives Matter? The three words aren't controversial, but if I say I'm in favor, then they may think I support the Black Lives Matter organization with its fairly radical agenda. And politicians, it seems, don't just tell you what they believe. Instead, they always filter everything through thinking about how could this be used against me? What do they actually believe? It's hard to know. Are they telling you the truth or just saying what they think certain people want to hear? You would think that the Jewish religious leaders at Jesus' time would be concerned about God, sin, and forgiveness. But the chief priests and elders of the people at Jesus' time are basically just politicians trying to balance the demands of the Roman authorities with the desires of the Jewish people. There's a fine balance that the religious leaders try to maintain so they can keep their places of prominence and continue to line their own pockets with money. Jesus, this radical preacher from Galilee, has come to Jerusalem and he's stirring up trouble. He's messing up the good thing the religious leaders have going. He's almost caused a riot at the temple as he went around driving out animals for sale and turning over tables covered with coins to change. The chief priests and elders want to get rid of Jesus, so they attack him and they question his authority. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Who told you you could do this? Where do you come from? Who do you think you are?" If Jesus says he has human authority, well, the chief priests and elders have more. If Jesus says he has divine authority from God, well, then that's blasphemy. Jesus knows it's a trap, so he turns the question around on them. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" Now, the chief priests and scribes are faced with an if-then analysis. They don't just answer the question and say what they believe. Instead, they consider their answer and what effect it might have. As they discussed it among themselves, they said, "Well, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." The chief priests and the scribes are not worried about the truth. They're not worried about God or sin or forgiveness. They're worried about the political and social effects of what they say. They're all about the if-then analysis of what they say. They want to make the proper calculated response. As Christians, you are called to confess the truth regardless of the results. And yet there are many who call themselves Christians who are not concerned with God or sin or forgiveness, but rather they're concerned with saying the right thing so that nobody is offended. Entire church bodies are willing to give up the truth of the Bible so they can get along with the cultural elites. When confronted with questions that might offend, they do the if-then analysis in order to make a calculated response in order to please others. Is Jesus really God in flesh? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? What is God's plan for marriage? Is the Bible really true? Is hell real? Are people really going to go there? When confronted with these questions, you're tempted to do an if-then analysis. You're tempted to calculate your response in order to please others and fit in. You're tempted to conform to the world and reject Jesus. Resist the temptation. Confess the truth. Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus did rise from the dead. God's plan for marriage is the lifelong union of a man and a woman. The Bible is true and reliable. Hell is real, and people are choosing to go there by rejecting Jesus and his forgiveness. Confess the truth of God and be honest about who you are in Christ. It's easy for Christians to start to believe that they're better than others. That's why we begin our worship with the confession of sins. You are by nature sinful and unclean. Christians are not better, just forgiven. Forgiveness is not something you earn, it's purely a gift from Jesus to you. Jesus' gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation to you is a full gift that is given to all people who believe, not more to some and less to others. Before God, we are all equal. We're all sinners needing forgiveness, and Jesus pours out his forgiveness in his word, in baptism, in Holy Communion. Full forgiveness is found in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Sinners rejoice at this good news. Sinners know they're sinners who deserve death and hell, but the good news of the Bible is Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus promises sinners they will not get what they deserve. Jesus offers the full gift of forgiveness to sinners everywhere. It's a free gift for everyone, and yet so many reject the gift because they reject Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be Lord of their life because they're more concerned with fitting into the world than they are about God, sin, and forgiveness. We see this in the chief priests and the elders who are not concerned about God. They're not concerned about sin and forgiveness. They're concerned about political power. They're concerned with what other people think of them. And so Jesus tells them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Brothers and sisters in Christ, reject if-then analysis when speaking about faith. Reject giving calculated responses to fit in with the world. The truth of forgiveness of sins in Jesus is more important than being liked by others. You do not need to be liked. You need Jesus. Now, this is not a call for you to seek out confrontation, but rather, in the words of St. Peter, in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. When it comes to the truth of the Bible, do not do if-then analysis. Don't calculate your response to make it more palatable to the world. You know the truth. Confess the truth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.